This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What's trending?
What's trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Number one is that we got Royals baseball this afternoon Surprise, Arizona, right here on your home for the Royals, 96.5 The Fan. 2:05 first pitch. Daniel Lynch going to get the nod for about two innings or so. Lineup is out. Jonathan India leading off. Oh, it just looks
good. Caglione's going to play today.
We're going to check in with Vern here in about 40 minutes or so from Surprise. Talk to him about Jack Caglione's debut and some of these other players as well. So, yeah, man, it's good to have some baseball. As we're driving home from work today, going to be able to listen to some baseball.
It'll just feel warmer outside, even though it's like 15 degrees outside. It'll feel warmer knowing that there's baseball around the corner. Next up on What's Trending, the USA falls to Canada in the Four Nations final yesterday in overtime. 3-2, unfortunate ending for the U.S., who had multiple opportunities in the early part of that overtime period. Then it started shifting over to Canada, getting more of the chances they eventually cash in on the goal and the win. Obviously, it was just an NHL All-Star game thing, but they had made it feel completely different than that. Very effective. We'll talk about it more later in the show, but USA came up short against Canada.
The entire event was awesome, though. It really was.
Yeah,
a huge win for the NHL and everything, and it lived up to the hype. Not every sporting event does, but that certainly did. Next on What's Trending, local college basketball. Kansas taking on Oklahoma State tomorrow at Allen Fieldhouse. That's at 3 o'clock. The latest Joe Lenardi bracketology has Kansas down to a 7 seed in the NCAA tournament. Yeah, absolutely makes sense considering where they're at. Missouri at Arkansas at 7, and then Kansas State taking on Arizona State. That game, not till Sunday.
What do they have Missouri at in the race?
They were not in the top, I think the 5 seed is what I saw.
Okay,
they were not in the top 4. I think they're just on the outside of being a 4 seed. I still think they're going to end up at least as a 4.
They keep playing this way. I don't know how you
can. When the tourney starts. They still have a path to become a 3.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's not out of the question. Depends on how they handle the next couple games. That win against Alabama is certainly going to go a long way towards that. Next up on What's Trending, the New York Yankees have altered their facial hair policy. After a lifetime of not allowing you to have a beard, they now will. Has to be clean. It has to be presentable or well-groomed, I believe is the word.
Yes, they use,
but you can now officially have a beard and be a member of the New York Yankees.
It's about time. It's a ridiculous rule. Save me the tradition stuff. You can have traditions with your uniforms, not like telling people what facial hair they can have. Like, as long as you, again, well-groomed. Nobody's saying like you should just have, you know, well-groomed, you're good. Every other sport, every
just
other franchise, it'll look weird, but like,
imagine Aaron Judge with a beard?
If he wants to.
Can he grow a beard?
I don't know.
Probably. I mean, I don't think you're 6'7", 216, you can't grow a beard. I think like your masculine energy is too strong. You have to be able to grow
it. What are you trying to say?
I'm just saying, if you're that tall,
dang.
Yeah, I mean, that's a shot. That's a shot over. Drew said it takes 3 weeks.
I've been over here waiting 2.5 weeks for anything. Jeez.
That is still wild that you shave once every 3 weeks is incredible. Like,
that's nuts to me.
I'm honestly jealous.
Well, same. I shave like once or twice a week.
I'm jealous.
Yeah, this is like the extent of I'm
I'm ready to.
4 days?
This is two, yeah. That's
5 days, something like that?
Next up, and lastly on What's Trending, the Chiefs announced their team awards as they do each and every year. Joe Tooney won the Derek Thomas Award, the team MVP, and then Xavier Worthy won the Mack Lee Hill Award, which is the Rookie of the Year.
There actually is one more thing as we fade out on What's Trending. I saw Bloomberg announced that Hooters is expected to file bankruptcy. You know, never happened to Drew's spot, Twin Peaks.
That's right.
Never there.
That's my spot.
But Hooters expected to file bankruptcy.
People just don't want wings anymore.
I guess not wings combined with, you know, I don't know what to say.
Combined with what?
An experience.
Oh.
Ambiance.
Apparently, Hooters is not fantastic enough.
What happened, you know?
Restaurant business is tough, man. Restaurant business is very, very tough.
Business not as good anymore? Declining foot traffic, they said.
Well, people I'm assuming just, that's why they're...
You know?
When's the last time you were inside of a Hooters?
I don't know. Working here, I think. I had to do a show for this station and other stations from there a couple of times. That's probably the last time.
Last time I was in a Hooters, I think, was 2022. So 3 years ago.
Never been to Hooters.
You never been?
Nope.
Huh.
Apparently, I've only been to Twin Peaks.
You're a Twin Peaks guy. I get it, man.
And I went there one solitary time.
Said struggles to reflect the broader challenges facing casual dining establishments.
National
particularly
chains.
Economic conditions shift and consumer preferences evolve.
This has happened with TGI Fridays, Red Lobster, of course, filed bankruptcy, closed a bunch of locations. It's national chains. It's tough.
300 locations nationwide. I guess we'd expect them to have less now, you know? Tough to say.
I'm glad we snuck that in there. What's trending? Thank you for the financial news of the day.
Text line is having some theories.
Someone says they're 37. They've never been to Hooters.
Good for you.
Well, get there now before it's too late, you know? Also, that's not how bankruptcy works. They'll still have locations.
They just might consolidate.
Might have less. Hard to say. Should we do a show there? Support?
Sure. Bink once judged
a swimsuit competition
at a Hooters. He was a judge.
Only Binkley. I don't think anybody else.
You can all imagine how that went.
That could not feel more on brand for Jay Binkley that took
But you know what? But Twin Peaks does like something similar too. I mean, Twin Peaks does, on Black Friday, they all wear black lingerie or whatever on Black Friday. Drew goes there. He should know.
He was talking about that, I think, in his part of his...
No, they were talking about it. There was the car wash thing, I believe, is what they were promoting while we were there.
Nice. Okay. Well.
Yeah. Nice.
We'll see. It's so funny. I just saw the headline. I thought it was worth mentioning for What's Trending.
I'm glad you did.
That is never going to be forgotten.
Fantastic.
Or just the entire clip either. From Cam saying, "All right, we're rolling." To
fantastic.
Yeah.
This show gets its wings from Jefferson's Wing Wednesday.
On the 23rd. So we'll be in all bikinis all day.
Fantastic.
I'm telling you, in the moment, I did not even realize. I don't even realize what I was saying. I don't think in the moment.
He's in the zone.
You were
man.
In a daze, man. You were in a daze. You were surrounded by beautiful women, and you just couldn't. You just didn't know what to do. You got some good news during the break, though. If you've been listening to the show,
breaking news.
Any time in the last 2.5 months, basically, you know that Cody decided to stop on the highway for some reason, and he got rear-ended, so your car's been under.
Sadly, I've not been able to drive my Tiguan from Volkswagen Lee Summit for a number of months due to repair. I just got a text 2 minutes ago, Drew. It said, "Hey, this is John." That's the guy's name over there.
He said,
"What's up?
Your car is put back together and ready for pickup." After the show today.
That's got to feel good.
Back in the Tiguan, back in the ride. I will say, for the impracticality, I couldn't even drive. So I've been in this rental car, this Mustang. I couldn't drive it. You feel like you're just doing donuts trying to drive in the ice. It's not an ideal car.
Or
it turns out for the weather, it's supposed to be 60 next week. Terrible timing.
I'm
gonna have the convertible top down next week. But in truth, very happy to get my car back after the show today. I'm gonna drive over there. I'm gonna pick up my ride. They had to do a bunch of repair work and then they had to change the
whole new tailgate, right?
Whole new tailgate, which wasn't originally thought. They thought they were gonna maybe fix the dent in it, new bumper. So they fixed some stuff on it. There was when I dropped the car off. A little door ding on the driver's side door. Nothing to do with the accident.
Okay.
Clearly someone just got it in a parking lot. You think they fixed it?
No.
Doing all that work? You had it all that time? You think they fixed a little door ding?
No.
Damn.
Maybe that's why it took them 2.5 months.
That's not how that works, man. Like, someone's putting a new roof on your house doesn't mean they just put in new gutters, too, while they're at it, because they see the gutters need repaired.
It was just a ding!
You should have, honestly, your car's been in there so long, you should have one day have texted them, like, hey, by the way, can you guys just
take the little dent thing to it?
If they did fix it without you asking, I would say that is well over the quota for what.
So you're saying that's just like a nice guy award. If it turns out the door ding is fixed.
Very nice guy award, if they fix that.
I've got one of those panoramic sunroofs. I'm going to open that whole thing on blast on Sunday when it's like 60 degrees.
I cannot wait for Sunday and Monday.
It's going to go for a drive today in it.
Weather is going to be absolutely incredible. Sunday, truly, I'm going to find some spring training game on the radio or on TV in this like patio, a little drink Sunday afternoon. Sounds like a plan, even though it's only 60. It still is going to feel
driving
like 70.
Driving range next week for sure. Dusty said he's golfing on Tuesday.
I bet people. The golf courses. Car washes on Sunday are going to be insane.
Untenable.
Like insane.
You're not going to be able to go to one on Tuesday.
Yeah, the car wash business is going to be very good Sunday, Monday, Tuesday of next
Will
week.
Will you go? Will you go get your car washed?
I have one of the monthly membership things.
Yeah, so it'll be so busy. You're going to go on a super busy day?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Man,
Gold's going to have the shiniest car on the parking lot.
I'm not willing to wait more than 30 minutes at a car wash. I'm not waiting.
Oh, it won't take 30.
I'm not willing to wait.
That's a long 20. Time.
I've waited
20
before.
If the car length is more than 15 cars long, I'm out. I'm just going to get my car washed a different time. I'm going to wash it at home.
It drives me crazy. Even though my car's older, it drives me crazy if the, even like obviously the inside as well, but like if the outside is just cut. Like right now, it's driving me crazy.
Covered in.
Oh, it's driving me nuts.
Salt and
yes.
Ice and dirty snow.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I have a black car too, so it stands out way more.
I don't even think it's my responsibility because I've got to return the rental car today. My kids have been getting in and out of that car with their like salt covered.
Well,
so
it's
like
not your car,
but I cleaned it last night. The inside.
You
I
detailed it before you take it back to the rental car place.
I didn't think I could turn it in that condition and feel good about myself. Just like the salt covered shoes.
As long as you don't leave trash behind, it's a rental
car. Trash is that, but like all the salt covered footprints, man, I couldn't do
it. I hope, Cody, that they fixed your door ding because of that.
That's nice.
You deserve it.
This should be like, yeah, pay it forward situation.
You go the extra mile.
If you're listening, John,
were you allowed
there's still a little bit of time left to just pop that little dent, that tiny little door ding out.
Whatever rental car company, I don't know which one you use, or the insurance company, were you able to like turn in your reward number? Did you had a rental car for 2 months. I hope you were able to get points for that, because then you're going to be set for a little while.
I don't
get a rental car for 2 months, man.
Damn, that would have been sweet. I didn't even think about that. When I turn it in, I'm going to ask.
Like, can I add my rewards number to this?
Just real quick on that one.
Because the insurance company probably paid what? How many thousands of dollars worth of rental car fees?
They haven't given me so when I went to go change this car out, as you remember, like 2 weeks ago, because like my car needed the other rental car I had so long, I needed maintenance. When I went to go turn it in, I saw the current bill at that time, and it was $2,000.
Okay. Well,
So, like, it's only been, like, a week and a half or 2 weeks since then, so more than that.
Someone gave you some advice, though, on your car. You get if they did some paint work, make sure you don't go to the car wash right away.
Oh, okay. That's good to know. Do you think, I'm assuming they'll tell me that, won't they? Give me some tips.
Will they?
I don't know, man.
Okay, that's good to know. Thanks. Appreciate the tip.
All right, coming up in about 25 minutes, we're going to be joined by Josh Fernier from Surprise, Arizona, and we are excited for spring training baseball. We're going to get a glimpse at Jack Caglione at some point in the game today.
Yeah.
He's not in the original lineup, but spring training, right? They're going to move 20 guys in and out throughout the entire game or whatever it is. You think, though, there's some unfair expectations because of
Bobby Wood Jr. And this is not like, I'm glad that they're going to be in the game together. I think it makes it kind of fun and like, and I don't even know if they'll play at the same time. It's just expected that Jack Caglione will get some at-bats. They typically do that in kind of the early portion of the game because they want to make sure that people are covered and all that other stuff. And that's fine. But, you know, before they're like on the minor league roster and they can't start all the time unless it's a split squad, et cetera. Bobby Wood Jr. doing so well is going to hyperdrive fans' expectations for what Jack Caglione should do the second he gets to the big leagues. Bobby Wood Jr. set an unfair standard. He showed up to the big leagues and was immediately a really good player, really good player. And then in a year, he was a top 50 player. In 2 years, he was a top 3 player, top 5 player in baseball. Because he is the most recent super prospect, right? Because that's what we're talking about in Caglione is not like any prospect who comes to your system and you get excited. You're like, ooh, here comes, you know, Kuderna. And you're like, all right, I'm excited. You know, like, yeah, whatever. You're excited. You hope they come up and have success. Jack Caglione is a top 50 player in baseball, according to Baseball America. He's the Royals' number one prospect. He's a big deal.
And he hits home runs.
And he hits home runs, and he's 6'5", 240, or whatever, 220. And so, like, he just looks like a damn baseball player, and he hits massive towering home runs that go 500 feet. People are going to assume that he should immediately be an all-star caliber player. And what I'm just telling you now is, like, not just for spring training. I know this is more of a future conversation, but because we're going to get our first look at him today, temper regular expectations for a player to adjust to the big league level and not just be the way Bobby Witt Jr. kicked the damn doors in and was immediately an all-star.
I think during spring you can get all fired up, you know, with whatever he does, and you should enjoy it, right? That this guy eventually is going to be a big league player. But yes, he hasn't even played in Double A yet. So the first time somebody in June has an 0-for-20 streak, we don't need to be saying, all right, well, time to bring up Jack Caglione, which I know that's going to happen, by the way. But like, don't need to do that. He's, I think, going to eventually be a really impressive player for this organization. But he's basically played fall league, and that's it. Now, he was a college player, so the timeline is much quicker. I think there's a chance in August we might see him. But that also means something kind of goes wrong with an injury or something at the big league level, most likely. And it means that he's raking in Northwest Arkansas, where we may or may not be making a trip.
Yeah, I kind of feel like another Coding Gold road trip would be fun. The last time we did it was for Bobby Witt Jr. So we would actually not be helping in this case. Does that make me like we're actually actively hurting this? We have on this show discussed doing other road trips. And at other times it was like, well, but there's not like a dude. There's not like the guy to go see. So like, yeah, we could go down there and go watch a player who we think might be a good big league player, but we like to make those trips when we think it's the guy. Caglione's the closest we've had to that since Bobby Witt Jr. because of the level of prospect he is, the power he possesses, the maybe premium position he ends up playing if he ends up in right field, because that is a premium
position. Hopefully that's what it ends up being.
Major League Baseball. Well, yeah, because then in that case, Salvi gets to still split his time between catcher and first base and DH, and Vinny gets to split his time between first base and DH, and he continues to stay healthy, and they all get to have a really, 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 really good lineup together all at once. He possesses all the skills. He's got a massive arm. He hits huge home runs. You know, it's all the stuff you would expect out of a high prospect, high draft pick. He's going to make it to the bigs quick, it seems like. Because if he makes it in August, he wouldn't even have had a full year in the minor leagues for the Royals. So that supercharges the expectations. Versus if he just spends this year in the minors and he's back in big league camp next year and it's like, ooh, maybe he will break camp, and probably having a slightly different conversation. But Bobby came into the bigs immediately. They could have held him hostage in the minors, remember, for a month and a half to get an extra year of control, and they didn't. They just put him in the majors. Same thing they did with Mondesi. Those are the last three that come to mind, unless I'm missing somebody. There was Mondesi, so then there was less expectation, I think, for Bobby. Not zero, because he was such a star. But Bobby got to come in with people being like, well, we'll cool it a little. The last time you told us a guy was great, it was Mondesi, and that didn't work out. But now it's the opposite, I feel like, for Caglione, where it's going to be the Bobby Witt Jr. scale, and can you meet that?
Caglione is 70-1 to win Rookie of the Year.
70-1?
Yeah.
That's just too...
There's 12 players with better odds. He also isn't going to play enough. He'll be eligible for Rookie of the Year next year. Don't worry.
Who are the other Rookie of the Year candidates?
The favorite is Dominguez, who's been talked about for many years in the Yankee system. Jason Dominguez.
And he got some time in the big leagues last year, just not enough to qualify as a non-rookie.
Correct. Christian Campbell. And then Jackson, is it Job, over with the Tigers? He's got the third best odds. The Tigers have a couple guys, actually. I mean, that's a credit to their organization. Jace Young, Trey Sweeney. Like, the Tigers have three guys that are in
the top 15.
Feels like
the Orioles a couple of years ago when they had all their stars come up at once.
They still have Kobe Mayo's another kid for the Orioles that is in the mix for Rookie of the Year this year. But some of this is just trying to also project who not just can have a good year, but who's going to even have a chance to play enough to be ultimately eligible when it's all said and done. Like Kumar Rocker is a name out of Vandy we all remember many, many years ago.
I really want Kumar Rocker.
He's in the Rangers organization, right? And he's 16-1 to win Rookie of the Year. But
is... Because, like, I'm just thinking back to now. Skeens won it last year, and rightfully so.
On the NL side.
Is he the favorite to win the Cy Young this year?
The NL, by the way, I was only listening. On the NL side, Dylan Cruz with the Nationals is one of the favorites to win in National League. NL Cy Young favorite is Paul Skeens, 2-1.
That's it? 2-1? Where's Reagan's on the AL side? Now we're getting into it, so I'm getting down a rabbit hole.
He's got the third best odds, 11-1.
Okay.
Scooble, who won it last year, is 3.5 to 1.
DeGrom, those guys, Cole. Yep,
basically, you just list. So,
I was like, is that the normal list?
Yeah, it's the names you would expect. Skubal, yeah. Crochet, Reagans, DeGrom, Logan Gilbert, and Garrett Cole
are the
top six odds for American League Cy
Young. I think this is what I like about the first day of spring training. We just talk baseball here for another second. This is what I love about the first day of spring training is last year when we were saying hope springs eternal, we seemed like jerks. Like, come on, guys. Hope springs eternal's team lost 100 games last year, and then the Royals found themselves into a postseason run. This year's team is, for a year-to-year basis, very close. Very, very, very close roster-wise to last year's team. So there's no reason for me to think that it can't be a postseason team again this year. Now, I'd stop the, like, this is the breakout year for MJ and probably pump the brakes a little bit because we've been predicting that for a number of years.
And there's concerns
over the rotation and whether or not they're going to regress in some way. But the easily most improved position on the field right now, before they start their first spring training game, it's the bullpen, right? They are infinitely better day one in the bullpen this year than they were last year.
Vern said the other day, he's going to join us in a bit, but he thinks they could be a top five AL bullpen. Top five bullpen in the American League. He really thinks there's a chance of that. And you start looking at Urseg and Estevez, and then I'm hoping that Hunter Harvey, now that he's healthy, can be the guy we thought they were trading for out of the Nationals organization a year ago. There's definitely, like, if you were to ask areas why they wouldn't get to the playoffs again, I think they're easy to point out what the problem areas could be. It is if you're starting pitching regresses at all or has more injuries, and then your offense doesn't make the leap that you're hoping it makes in some areas. If the offense doesn't improve and your pitching decreases, well, no brainer, then you're going to have a problem. And so that's the question. Does the pitching stay the same and you have better offense? Well, then it's going to be a really, really special season for the Royals. If the pitching stays the same and the offense is the same as last year, well, then it'll be very similar.
If the pitching is better, be 5-6 games better, maybe.
That should help them there. I think so much of it still is, are they able to get Lugo, Reagans, Waka to give them anywhere near? Then that'd be the exact same level, anywhere near what they were getting last year.
How much do you factor in the, like, you now have confidence to know you can win?
Oh, I think that's huge. I think that's,
like,
huge,
you're not
for those
guessing,
guys.
You just, yeah. You know. We know we're good baseball players. We know we're a good team. Day one of spring training last year, you're like, I sure hope we're good.
No,
and this
I think,
year, day one of spring training, you're like, we're a damn playoff team. We're trying to win this division. We got a little swagger to it. I feel like that 14-15 shift for the Royals, that was that for them, where all of a sudden it's like, oh no, we belong. And we're going to act like we belong from day one, not from day 87 or 92 or whatever it took the Royals to convince themselves they were a good team.
I think that absolutely is already there with this group. And, you know, Vinny alluded to that a little bit, not on here, but our show, he was just talking to some of the media in Arizona. They know who they are now. Like, they know that last year, that's who they are, and to build on that. And so, yeah, I think the confidence level and the expectation that they're going in, they're one of the best teams in the American League. Like, that's their mindset, because they were last year. They were one of the best teams in the American League last year when it was all said and done. And they won a playoff series. Like, that's where they feel that that's where they belong. And I think they do. The question is, can they meet the expectation that I have? And I think a lot of people, which is go in the division, go in the American League Central. It's going to be a very close race again, I believe. I think these teams are not that separated once again. And it's a competitive, really competitive division. Had three playoff teams last year, right? Ended up getting three teams in.
And nobody would have thought that going into it. We talked about this as being like it's the Summit League. Like, it's a one bid league going into the year about the American League Central. We did. We talked about it like, well, the division champ will get in, but don't take anyone else serious. Win the division, be in the playoffs, don't, and you're not. And the Royals, it didn't go down like that at all. They were the second team in the division to make it of, as you mentioned, three teams to do it. And the fourth team wasn't that far off. Like, it will once again, I imagine, be a very competitive division. And people will still take you less serious because the Twins are in it every year. There's only one laughingstock. That's the White Sox. They're a joke.
Yeah,
but
they're still probably going to lose 100 games. Yeah, maybe not 120, though.
I mean, they were the worst team in Major League Baseball history last year. Uh-huh. I don't think they're quite that bad this year.
I think they'll lose like 100 still, though.
Do they have the worst ownership in baseball? Baseball, not sports. Sports widens it a little too wide.
The A's owner might.
A's
ownership, Sacramento A's, excuse me, or whatever they're called. Actually, they're not allowed to call them the Sacramento A's. They're just the A's, I think, or the Athletics, even though they're in Sacramento.
Are they going to change their name when they get to Vegas?
It could be. Why can't it be the Las Vegas A's?
I don't know. I'm just asking if they want to go full rebuild.
There's already the Las Vegas Aces. Is that too close?
I was going to say they can't do Aces, but A's might.
Is that too close?
Raiders kept their name.
I'm guessing it'd be the Las Vegas Athletics. If that actually ever happens, too. That thing in Vegas still hasn't been completely finalized.
Where else can they go at this rate? I mean, would they go to Nashville?
Nashville, Portland,
He wants to be in.
No, I think
this whole move is to get to Vegas, not to get to any different city that isn't Oakland. This deal was to get to Vegas. He wanted to make sure he was there.
It's going to be weird when these teams are playing in minor league baseball stadium in Sacramento. That's just... And they can say all they want, though. Like
you also remember that a team's playing, I mean, weirdly enough. Yeah, the Rays are playing in a spring training.
That's not their fault, though, at least. You know what I mean? Like, that one's not their fault. Hey, the hurricane destroyed their entire stadium. You know, that wasn't a self-inflicted thing, you know, like the A's decided to move out of Oakland. All right, up next, I teased it. We'll get to it, I promise. Drew, not happy with, I think, what we're about to say. And Josh Vernier is in Arizona. We'll check in with him about today's spring training game next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Josh Vernier, you're going to join us in about 10 minutes from Surprise, Arizona. Welcome back into Cody and Gold on 96.5 The Fan. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. So, off-season... Big time money is going to be handed out, and some of the numbers will shock us because the salary cap is going to go up. So keep that in mind. But the latest report out of Cincinnati is that one of the top wide receivers in the league, Ja'Marr Chase, wants $40 million a year. That doesn't mean he's going to get $40 million a year, but he's positioned with plenty of leverage considering one, how good he is, but also his quarterback's out here saying, you know, make sure you keep my guy around. You also have his teammate, T. Higgins, who wants to get paid more like probably $30 million a year. So if T wants 30, he wants 40. Doesn't seem that crazy, does it?
No, it doesn't. And so I think that there's a big misnomer here in wide receivers and when to pay them and what as it relates to how many weapons. Ja'Marr Chase, you should absolutely pay. At $40 million a year, actually, you should. The Chiefs paid Tyreek Hill. He was the second highest average annual pay and the second highest signing bonus at the time the Chiefs paid him to be a member of Kansas City. So he was one of the top paid wide receivers in the NFL at the time the Chiefs paid him because he was young. Ja'Marr Chase is young. I always hear like the Cooper Kupp example. Cooper Kupp got paid by the Rams, top dollar to be the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL.
In his prime.
They won a Super Bowl in his prime. Now they're not going to pay him. Sure, he's an old man. Young wide receivers in their prime, you don't let them walk on your star quarterback. Pay them both? That's idiotic. Because at what point, and this is the question I'll ask you, Drew, before we have Vern on. At what point is Joe Burrow not supposed to be held to the same standard we talk about every other elite quarterback in the NFL? Josh Allen's got to do without star guys. Patrick Mahomes got to do without star guys. Why the hell does Joe Burrow get to both pay T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase and not expected to just rise the tides of other wide receivers who could be in the system? Paying both is stupid. And I would obviously just pay Ja'Marr Chase and let T. Higgins walk.
Yeah, so look, they're both great. They're both great wide receivers, like unbelievable talents and everything like that. But I just... To me, if you're Cincinnati, you're setting yourself up to be sitting in the same spot next November, which is, wow, our quarterback is putting up amazing numbers. Ja'Marr Chase is going for another triple crown. T. Higgins is pretty nice. But man, we can't stop anybody. Poor Joe Burrow. Well, he also told you to pay everybody and you listen. Like that's how I take it from the outside. As someone in Kansas City, I actually hope they not only pay Chase, but I hope they pay T. Higgins because I actually think that is a mistake because the defense is going to stink again if you're devoting all your resources to the offense. Drew obviously disagrees with
you. You think
us
they
on
should
this.
Pay both? It's stupid.
Yeah, I think they should pay both. If you look at they're going to have cap space to still spend money.
Shouldn't they just spend it on defense?
No, I'm saying they have money to spend extra on defense after paying Trey Hendrickson, T. Higgins, and Jamar Chase. The Eagles currently, our guy Barber sent in this text, they're paying seven guys over $50 million currently. The Bengals have two. And Jalen Hurts and Joe Burrow essentially can cancel each other out because they're both $250-plus million deals. Joe Burrow also is on the record of saying, I'm willing to restructure and do what it takes, whether it's sending money up later to get paid later, where it opens up some more cap space now,
but
or whether
the Eagles owners
now.
Willing to have use the cash flow that's required to convert some of that stuff is
correct.
The Bengals owner willing to do that?
Which I
he
think
shouldn't, though for this,
he should be willing to do it because your star quarterback, who is the most talented quarterback in franchise history, is asking you. He's pushing the envelope for you to do it because not only can you do it, you should do it because it gets the most out of the team. I don't think Joe Burrow or the Bengals owe anybody else anything. In regards to him being the best quarterback conversation, what do you say?
He's not if you got to pay two elite wide receivers. He's more Jalen Hurts than Mahomes.
No, I understand that that's part of the conversation, but they don't care, nor do I care. You guys can think Joe Burrow is the 10th best quarterback in the league. I don't care if they win a Super Bowl. This helps them win a Super Bowl by paying guys because they have the cap space to go and utilize that further for a safety or for another linebacker. There, Jermaine Pratt's asking for a trade. They should get rid of him anyways because he did not have a very good season last year. That saves $9 million off the books. Sam Hubbard gets cut. That's $7 million off the books. So you can, there's ways that they can finagle the money.
You still have to go sign players, though. Like, they have to field a team. Like,
I understand.
It's not like the free agents are just going to be cheaper than everybody they're cutting ties with.
They have drafted defensive end, I believe, in the last four drafts. They have guys behind Sam Hubbard who have not gotten an opportunity, technically, to
probably for a reason.
Not to see how good they are. They've drafted two guys in the first round, and they haven't gotten a legitimate chance to show what they can do. Sam Hubbard getting cut saves you $7 million and allows those guys who are still on rookie deals to get the job done. My thing is, it's more about what Joe Burrow is saying. Like, if this were any other team, I'll be honest, or if it were even the Bengals with Andy Dalton, fine. Go get somebody else. But the fact that your quarterback is publicly saying, I need to keep these guys, not that he would turn...
Why does he need so much help?
It's not about the help, Cody. It's, I want to be able to win because I also...
He's not winning with those guys. He lost with those guys multiple times.
This is the last year. This is the first year that he had everybody healthy, where he was healthy and they missed the playoffs. This is one time that it's happened. The other times don't count, in my opinion, because Joe Burrow wasn't quarterbacking because he was hurt.
Yeah, but they got a full view of it and they were 9-8. I'm just saying, like, they got a taste of it. They had T. Higgins and Jamar Chase, and they were one of the league's best offenses in a team that didn't even get to the postseason.
And they are going to, they fired the defensive coordinator, who is going to come in and clean things up a little bit. They are going to get one of their worst players on defense last year, who started, is asking for a trade. Thank you very much. And they also have the opportunity to select defensive linemen, which they have refused to do in an effective nature over the last few seasons. It was always going to be about the Philadelphia Eagles, the way that they did things and the way that the Kansas City Chiefs have done things. The Chiefs and Eagles are paying guys. They're also drafting very well. It always comes down to how well you're drafting. The Bengals over the last three or four seasons have not done very well at all whatsoever, last year in particular, at drafting players. Joe Burrow has also been on record. T. Higgins is immensely, he makes the offense immensely better in terms of taking it up a notch. Yes, the Chiefs almost lost to the Bengals with no T. Higgins playing. But if they had T. Higgins playing, the Bengals, did it make them that much harder to play against? It's the reason why they're one of the best offenses in the league.
Oh, I don't doubt that the offense is great.
They can solve the defensive
problems. It's the defensive end. I don't think you can win a Super Bowl constructing your roster that way. That's all.
But they can. That's why, again, it comes down to drafting. If they draft a defensive lineman who actually is good for them and can help Trey Hendrickson, they automatically help their problems tenfold. The run defense would be automatically better. The pass rush interior-wise would automatically be better. All they need to have is a top 20 defense.
They have the league's smallest scouting department. This is why they have to pay defense.
Again,
understand your own constraints is the general manager's job. He knows he's got no one to scout, therefore can't find good players. Their defense stunk. They should pay defensive players. They should pay for ready-made defensive players. If Joe Burrow is an elite-level quarterback, he should be asked and held to the same standard that the two best quarterbacks in the league have been. Josh Allen got to an AFC championship game with his best wide receiver being Khalil Shakir. Patrick Mahomes won a Super Bowl with his best wide receiver being Juju Smith-Schuster.
Why does
Joe Burrow get all of the help? Shouldn't he get the help on defense? Don't you want him to get help somewhere else?
Why are you
I think it's bad business.
you are clearly a Chiefs fan because you are 100% jealous that Patrick Mahomes does not have Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins.
No,
because
I'm saying that this is what we talk about in the lead level quarterback.
Now, Irby, I was about to be on your side for a second, Drew, and then you had to say that Chiefs fans are jealous of Cincinnati.
Because why do you think the Bengals should forgive themselves for having two elite wide receivers?
Because winning organizations don't do that. Don't you want to be a winning organization? Winning organizations.
The Rams had an elite level quarterback and Cooper Kupp.
Elite organizations because they had a rookie guy. So did the Bengals last year. They're not going to pay both at the same time. They're going to let Cooper Kupp walk and they're going to pay Puka Nacua. I'm not saying you can't pay one guy. I'm saying no elite level organization that is good at winning and consistently winning pays two top targets while paying their quarterback elite level money. If you pay
the money to do so, then why wouldn't you?
You don't, because you got to pay defensive players.
You physically have
the money. You shouldn't spend it that way. That's like saying I technically have the money that I could bet $2,000 on the Royals to win the spring training game today. I shouldn't do it. It's a bad way to spend my money.
It'd be kind of fun, wouldn't it?
It'd be just a terrible decision. Horrible financial decision.
I just think
be fun if I won, I guess. That's Drew's argument. It looked fun.
I just don't think you need. That's not at all what it is. It's they have to draft well because listen, even if they didn't pay T. Higgins and they spent money on somebody else, which again we don't even know if they would do that, they still have to draft well. They have to draft a good wide receiver. If they fail on wide receiver, then guess what? The offense is not going to be as good.
Of course, it comes back to the draft. I think Cody's point is that. Plenty of teams have top 10 offenses with a quality wide receiver like Ja'Marr Chase and a top 5 quarterback like Joe Burrow and a very talented young second year now, I guess, or whatever it is, running back in Chase Brown. That like paying for the number 2 wide receiver on top of it is like overkill, and then you're suffering on defense, which I told you from Kansas City, I really do hope that the Bengals do your plan, which is load up on offense and then just pray for defense to work out.
They can go ahead and draft Walter Nolan in the first round. They'll draft Xavier Watts in the second round, and we'll have the safety and defensive interior help that you need automatically to be much better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, look, I think most teams would tell you that if you spent your money one way and then drafted correctly the other.
In fairness, the Eagles just spent a ton of money and they just smashed the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. So I think that's
what this is. And this is fun. Hope fandom is all about hope, as C-Dot said yesterday on his monologue.
Carrington
was right. Yesterday he was talking about his Missouri Tigers and he said, fandom starts with hope. And I get it. The Philadelphia Eagles have given you hope. Now, it's a one-time thing that happened, and so now suddenly we think that formula works for everybody because it worked for Philadelphia, that they had the perfect storm.
That's
and
I so still think it's paid Ja'Marr Chase. It was when pay both. Yeah,
for sure.
The Rams also went all in, too, and they won the whole thing.
They gave up multiple draft picks. Cincinnati's not traded for anybody. Yeah. They traded away picks to make that all-in roster. It wasn't that they went and said, we're going to pay everybody. Anyway, Vern's going to join us in a second. And then we can get into an update on the 1 o'clock hour fan club Friday.
Yeah, McKenzie Nelson will be with us
from 41 is going to join us in studio. Do we have cocktails? We have beer. Yeah, what do we have
cocktails today?
Okay.
I had that rye whiskey that Rieger brought a couple weeks ago. I was like, I'm going to do like a whiskey cocktail. Something because like it's so cold. I felt like before summer hit and we started to do some summer cocktails, we needed one more. So a dry Manhattan today is what we're going with.
That sounds good.
We'll see. Pretty simple cocktail, but I brought some like martini glasses, right? We'll serve it up, as you'll say. That way we're appropriately taken care of.
All right, let's go out to Arizona. Welcome in Josh Furnier. Hopefully you caught his hot stove show last night, 6 o'clock here on 96.5 The Fan. It's every Thursday leading up to opening day, and he joins us each and every day from spring training. 2:05 first pitch this afternoon, Vern. Look, I know it's spring training, but it's finally here, man. It's going to feel good. It's going to sound good.
Yeah, excited to hear Jake and Stu and Ryan back on the radio. Loved your reaction to that drink of the day, by the way, Alex. I think Cody could have said anything and you would have hit him with a, that sounds good.
Just so stock answer, like, okay.
Well, in fairness, yeah, Vern, you were already on.
It's always a good idea.
I was trying to be nice, and then also you were already on hold, and I was like, let's get to Vern. Let's talk to some Royals baseball. I think a lot of Royals fans say not only are they excited just to hear baseball, but in particular, I don't have to tell you, Jack Caglione, like that's the hot name Royals fans are talking about right now.
Yeah, they should be excited. It's tough not to be excited. We talked earlier in the week. Cody referenced to Paul Bunyan Yeah. When talking about Jack, and you know, he certainly has the arms of a Paul Bunyan, 6'5". Yeah, just watching him take batting practice and ending it with a monster shot over the right field wall. I know there's I think Jake Eisenberg predicted that the first spring home run would come today in the sixth inning, courtesy of Jack Caglione. I asked Matt Quatrero about the top pick earlier today, and you know, with all the excitement and all of the pressure that's coming from Kansas City, all the hype that's coming from Royals fans, what are you telling them? How are you trying to temper those expectations? And honestly, Q said, I'm not saying anything to him. I'm letting, you know, the hitting coaches, I'm letting some of his minor league coaches do a lot of that one-on-one conversation to prepare Jack for the next few weeks. But basically, I just want him to, you know, ingratiate himself with the guys that he's going to be teammates with in the next few seasons and just enjoy this. Just have fun and go out there and show off his talents. Vinny getting the start at first base, but Cag's going to be coming off the bench today. So, yeah, you want to stay tuned even in those later innings of today's spring training game.
Not his own doing, but we were talking in the show, Vern. Cags is kind of put in a tough spot because the last big-name prospect to come through the system was Bobby Witt Jr., and so I think the heightened expectation level for Caglione is going to be way up versus like what a normal top prospect. They get some heat anyway or expectation anyway.
Yeah.
But Bobby doing so good so fast, I thought maybe put him in a tough spot.
I guess I could see that, but I think that's pretty short-sighted. If you're older than 15, you know, I think you can remember plenty of top Royals prospects that
flamed up.
You were excited about and, you know, had solid careers, but weren't the MVP that you were hoping Hosmer would be or Moose would be or Gordo would be. Sure, Bobby's lived up to that. But Bobby was also the can't miss. Cags has the most power. I don't think he has Bobby-like expectations. I'd liken him more to a Mike Moustakas as far as expectations are concerned, where he's going to be a cornerstone, you know, where the expectation is still to be a cornerstone, but a 35-40 home run guy more so than the consistent MVP caliber shortstop that Bobby is. Maybe I'm off. You guys are talking to more fans than I am right now, so maybe I'm off on that, but whether it's where he was drafted, the position that he plays, I do get it, or just the way that people talk about him. I mean, there wasn't debate. You guys talked with baseball men and women plenty going into Bobby's debut. There was no debate that he was going to be great. There's still questions about Jack and the swing and miss, and it'll be interesting to see how he handles AA.
So there's no doubt that's looking into the future a little bit. But present day, I think for this game, even right out of the gate, Jonathan India debuting in left field. I know they're obviously comfortable what he can do at second base. He's working it at third base. But that's like truly something that could matter this year is the fact that let's see what he looks like in left field, right?
Yeah, without question. I mean, this guy has to produce offensively, in my opinion. I was just having a debate with a few of the media members out here. For as much as I understand the trade, I just have a tough time coming to grips with parting with Brady. 2 years of Brady Singh and only getting 2 years of Jonathan India. If I have a pitcher that is league average or better, and I'm going to part with him, I kind of want something that's going to last a little bit longer than Brady's tenure in Kansas City was already going to last. But plenty of pressure, in my opinion. Jonathan India has the most pressure on him. Now, while Royals fans, I'm sure, would select a Hunter Dozier and MJ Melendez, Chris Bubich, to me, Jonathan India is the guy that if he doesn't deliver right out of the gate, I could see people really starting to look at him out of the corner of their eye. As far as him out there in left field, listen, I always think it's wild when a guy learns a new position at the big league level. For a young guy in MJ Melendez, I thought that was a pretty tough ask, and he ultimately did a quality job. But, you know, we're seeing it all around Major League Baseball. A future Hall of Famer and Jose Altuve is likely doing that out in Houston. Good place to start, though. If you're going to move to a outfield position, doing it in the desert with this high sky and thin air, the ball really carries, you're certainly going to get your work in. But I have my questions about the trade, his ability offensively. It's way too often talked about, like, okay, that is now set. We now have a guy that's going to be on base all the time for Bobby Witt Jr. It's just talked about as if the game is easy and that India's numbers point to a guy that is going to score, you know, 100-some-odd runs. And I hope that's the case. I'm just not as convicted as everybody else seems to be.
Which player's playing time ends up getting impacted the most this season because of the addition to India? Like, who plays less games than did last year the most? So Massey or Michael Garcia or MJ Melendez? Obviously, games from all three of them are probably being taken with India's addition, but who loses the most games?
Yeah, I'd say Michael. I'd say the right-handed infielder, right? With Massey and MJ both hitting from the left side, and Q's proclivity for riding the splits. Yeah, I'd say the right-handed infielder is going to lose the most ABs. And Michael's coming off a tough year, so he's got a lot to prove, not defensively, not on the base pads, but you know, I know they wanted him to get stronger this offseason, and I'm sure he is. It's not necessarily noticeable, but I'd say Michael Garcia would be the one that's going to lose the most playing time because of Jonathan.
So over 10.5 runs today, Vern.
What are you thinking?
Is that the total?
Yeah.
I bet on Canada last night. Is that wrong?
Oh wow!
I mean, are you anti-American, Vern?
No,
betting on Canada.
All the apps were giving me bonuses for USA, and whenever that happens, I'm like, okay,
true.
Well, you're telling me something.
True.
I rode Canada. Over 10.5 runs with Nate Evaldi on the hill for Texas. I'll take the under.
Should I? Okay, so
but
you
Evaldi
like
know he's only going to be out there.
I was going to say one inning or something.
Like he's the starter, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Plus all the juice from the 2015 team. You don't think championship spirits now? Weren't all the 2015 guys there today?
Well, Edinson Volquez, I mean, Ned Yost is always here, but Edinson Volquez in uniform, I'll be honest, I thought he would get chubby once he hung him up, but he honestly looks like he could climb the rubber right now and pitch for this team. I talked with Q, and Q will never admit this, but this is all his doing. Now, he says that he talked with Salvi, got Salvi's opinion of what guys from that 2015 they should reach out to try and bring them back and ingratiate them with the 2025 team. You remember last year, Wade and Greg Holland and James Shields came through. Well, Wade Davis and Greg Holland, Eric Hosmer, Mike Moustakas are all expected to be out here this spring. Edinson Volquez, the first one to report. And, man, I just think that's so cool. Such a great idea by Q. Willie Wilson and Amos Otis and George Brett, these guys have been here for as long as I've been coming out. They have their week out in spring training. But, man, that's a long time ago. And what the Royals need to do and what they are doing, courtesy of Matt Quatrero, is, you know, not building a tradition, but acknowledging a tradition. Even if, Cody, Gold, you guys understand that, you know, from 1985 until about 2014, there really wasn't much to write home about with this organization. But nowadays, you know, these 22, 23-year-olds that are rolling up to Surprise Arizona that are drafted by this organization, they have no idea that the organization sucked in the 90s and sucked in the 2000s.
Right. So they don't remember Scott Ellerton on opening day, you know?
Let's try and pretend or at least create, you know, some real pride in that Royals logo and that Royals tradition, and let's start playing Royals baseball. Let's make that mean something. So to have these guys come back and let the Cagliones, let the Michael Garcias and Luinder Avilas, let them know that, hey, there is a standard in Kansas City that we met last year, that they met, and that we're expecting you to meet this season.
Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. Appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you on Monday.
All right, boys. Thank you.
There you go. Royals baseball, 2:05 this afternoon, a little over an hour from now. Spring training, game number one here on your home for the Royals, 96.5 The Fan. He said he's taking the under. Okay.
We're still on the over. We're an overs group.
Yeah. Did we come together on a five-legger? Or
I'll let Gold choose it. I'll just Venmo him the $10 if he just wants
some
to.
Some of the games already started,
that
though.
Might be the dang.
That's the only thing.
Oh, man.
We lost. One of our listeners.
You can live bet him, right?
What about our
Oh, live betting, though. The number is going to be way off. My man. I don't know.
We
can do it another day. One of our listeners, Lance, texted us in, or tweeted us, I should say, a screenshot. He went over 8.5 on the Rays-Yankees game, which started an hour ago, so he can check it on that one. Cubs, over 10.5 in the Royals game, over 10.5 in the Rockies-Dimex game, and over 10.5 in the Mariners-Padres game, which was the one we were talking about earlier on the show. $13 to win 319.
2-0 Yankees in the second.
That's a good start to the over 8.5. It's a good start. It's a good start. All right, up next, a fan club Friday here on 96.5. The Fan, Mackenzie Nelson from 41. She was at the Super Bowl. I don't know if she's been out to Arizona yet. We'll talk baseball. We'll talk Chiefs. And we might have to fill her in on the Troy fraud media member thing next.